Ladies and gentlemen, Reverend Susan Miller.
Thank you. Certainly is a wonderful evening. We're fellowshipping together, and we came here for God's Word, and I would imagine the greatest volume amount of consistent teaching and truth of the accuracy of God's Word has taken place in this room. And I certainly, first of all, want to thank Dr. Wirl and the Board of Trustees for inviting me to share God's Word with you tonight. It's wonderful to see the room filled to overflowing, at least one person standing up back there. He's probably supposed to, though. He's maybe an usher, but praise God you're there. Open up your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah chapter 37. We have a question tonight. Consider this question. We'll present the answer to the question. And I believe the king at least in this situation, in this account, first asked this question, asked a very sound question. So in Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 17, we all there? We read, "Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out." Him is Jeremiah. Imagine they're in the king's palace. There's an event going on. Zedekiah walks up, walks over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the man of God, and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" What a question. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, once again, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "There is." Yes. "For," said he, "thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." The issue being that he asked Jeremiah if there was a word from the Lord. Tonight we're going to see that for you and I, there is a word from the Lord. Situations change, circumstances change. Look over at verse 20 of chapter 38. And Jeremiah said to the king, "They shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live." So situation had changed. He wasn't going to be delivered in the hand of Babylon, but the main issue is Jeremiah is telling him to obey the voice of the Lord. God does speak to us. The greatest amount of revelation to you and I today, the Word of God, and that's what we're all here for. You came here tonight because you wanted to know if there was a word from the Lord. I think it's pretty neat. How many times during the day do you ask that question of yourself? I'm in a situation now. Is there a word from the Lord? What would God have me to think? What would God have me to do? Our attitude toward God's word definitely is indicative of what we do in our life. If you look at the results in your life or the consequences, truth or consequences. Anybody used to watch that show? Well, it's true. We either live by consequences or we get results. So if you look at either one of those and you'd like to change the results or the consequences, ask the question, is there a word from the Lord? In Psalm 107, 2, we don't need to look at it, I just want to refer to it. God said he sent his word to heal people. He did not send the weather to heal us. He did not send nature to heal us. He did not send circumstances or situations to heal people. He sent his word. And that's what you and I are going to look at tonight. We're going to take a look at two individuals and their attitude towards God's word. Turn to Numbers chapter 22. Our attitude toward God's word is a moment-by-moment decision. It's made by a moment-by-moment decision. An attitude directs believing. If we go to God's word, do we go expecting? Do we go asking? Do we desire? Do we prepare our heart? We're going to take a look at one individual in Numbers 22. Balaam, in fact, is the man we're going to look at. And I suppose most of us, when we think of Balaam, the prophet, or hear about him, our minds go back to the advanced class and Balaam's ass, and the fact that his ass had talked to him. Well, that's not what we're concerned with tonight. What we're concerned with tonight is what the Lord said to Balaam, and the fact that Balaam did ask God what to do in a specific situation. So let's take a look at Numbers 22, verse 8. What's happening here is Balak is a king. Balak looked out over the land and he saw a multitude of people, and he wanted those people cursed. So he sent several of his emissaries, princes, to go find the man of God and to ask the man of God to come and curse that multitude of people for him. So here's what's happening. These men came up to Balaam, and they're asking him to go with him. "Then he," Balaam, "said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam." Balaam's smart. He has a situation in front of him, but before he does anything, he's going to ask God about it. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. It's right there, simple and clear. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And it's the children of Israel is who it is. And Balaam arose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me to leave to go with you. Balaam asked the Lord, and the Lord said, No, don't go. So Balaam went back and told them to leave. But Balak didn't like that. In the next two verses, we see he sent more honorable princes unto him. Aha! Well, I'll get some more important people to go ask him. Maybe that'll have him change his mind. So they went to Balaam. They came to Balaam, verse 16, and said to him, Thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee. There was promotion in the Old Testament. I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. How enticing. The king is telling Balaam that he'll promote him, cause him to be honorable, will give him anything, anything that he asks. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, this is verse 18, we all looking there? If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God, to do more or less. Pretty specific answer. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me. Aha! Now, Balaam knew he wasn't supposed to go, but I got a feeling he really wanted to go, because he's going to go back and ask God a second time, Hey, can I go with these guys? And verse 20, And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come, God's setting up a condition, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. The condition was, if the men rose up in the morning and came and got Balaam out of bed, that then he could go with them. And look at verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and waited for the princes. No, he didn't. He rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, that's a bad mistake, and went to the princes of Moab. Now that's the condition that caused God to be angered in verse 22, but that's not our issue. The thing is, God told him, okay, you can go, but still, the words that you are going to speak once you get there are my words. And Balaam was gracious enough at least go to ask God, but then he blew it on one little point. He didn't meet the condition. And that happens with you and I still today. Now let's take a look at verse 34 of that same chapter. In between verse 22 and 33 is generally what we hear about, where the angel came down on the way, tried to stop Balaam, and Balaam just did not know that there was an angel there. The ass did. Finally, God, working the way that he can work, causing phenomena to happen, the ass talked to Balaam. Then Balaam goes, Oh, my goodness. Verse 34, And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Thou, therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back. How many times have we seen that? We've gone a certain way with what we thought was right, and then all of a sudden we see that we're wrong, and oh, I'll turn back and I'll go away. But the angel had a message here for Balaam. Let's look at verse 35. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shall thou speak. How many times have we read this phrase so far in this chapter? Quite a few. Now, what we'll see happen is that Balak, the king, three times requests that Balaam curse the people before him. Balaam does not curse them because the words that God gave him to speak is a recognition that the children of Israel were a blessing. And Balaam was faithful in that. Take a look at verse 11 and 12. After Balaam had given his message out of blessing over the children of Israel, Balak, of course, would be upset because he's expecting the man of God to curse the people. And Balak said unto Balaam, What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he, Balaam, answered and said, Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? He stuck with what God told him to do. And look at verse 18. And this is what he spoke the second time that he spoke. Well, let's look at verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall it not, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. None of us have the ability to reverse that which God has said. Even though you may at times doubt it, try to reverse Ephesians chapter 1. You can't. You and I can't. God has spoken it. He's not a man that he should lie. We do have a word from God, and I'm certainly thankful that we do. Let's take a look at John. The other individual we're going to take a look at is Jesus. Jesus had the ideal attitude toward God's word. In John chapter 17, John's after Luke, in John chapter 17, verse 7, we read Jesus Christ's attitude of God's word. Ask this question of yourself. Why did you come here? Why did you take the Power for Abundant Living class? Why do you get up every morning? Really? Is there a word of the Lord for you today? In any situation, is there a word from the Lord? Yes, there certainly is. And in verse 7, Jesus Christ continually spoke God's word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Everything Jesus gave was of God. Now we understand and know that he had a free will and gave of himself, but everything that he gave was God's. Before you can give anything, you've got to have it. He received from God and gave words, life. Everything that he spoke and gave was God's. Look at verse 14. I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And verse 17, sanctify them, that's you and me. Jesus is praying here. Set them apart, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Nothing else will set you apart, nor will set me apart. My job does not set me apart. My sex doesn't. My height or my shortness. My position, my goals, my desires, nothing sets me apart from anything other than the truth of God's word. That's what sets you and I apart. We're sanctified. It's the word of God. Look at chapter 14. We're going backwards. Have you ever read a book in the Bible backwards? Start with the last chapter, then go next to the last and the one before that? It's interesting because it gets your mind to think about it in a different way, and you don't just read over things so quickly. Every truth is built upon another truth. At the end of a book, why does God say something there? Why didn't he say that at the beginning? Because everything's built upon a foundation. That's why we're going backwards. I thought it would be fun tonight to go through these verses backwards. In chapter 14, look at verse 24, please. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent. He made a pretty general statement. He said, the words that I say are not mine, they're my Father's. And he didn't qualify them just on certain days, but that at all times, the words that he spoke were God's. Look at John chapter 8, please. See, we're thinking all day long. Don't just see this in terms of speaking. You think in words all day long. I think in words all day long. Whose words am I thinking? Are they my words or are they God's words? It's really interesting. John chapter 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them. Jesus had been talking, and the scribes and Pharisees were a little upset at it. And then we break into the conversation here. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. God will not give you his word, send you out, and not be with you. He can't do that. He's always with you, you and I, all the time. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Only the truth of God's word makes us free. Past experience does not make me free. Past mistakes does not make me free. A title does not make me free. The friends that I have, they do not make me free. It's only the truth of God's word that makes me free and that makes you free. Yes, there is a word from the Lord. in every situation, at every moment of the day. Look at chapter 7, please, verse 15. This is after Jesus had spoken, and the Jews are marveling at him, saying, "How knoweth, mentally perceive, this man letters, grammar, the scriptures, the wholeness of the scriptures, having never learned?" That word learning meaning from experience, being with great teachers and so forth. And Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." You, listening to me, speaking the word, you are filled with God's word. You need to decide whether I'm speaking the word of God or if I'm speaking myself, from myself. And it's the same with yourself. When someone's talking to you, decide, are they speaking of themselves or are they speaking God's word to you? Because that really ultimately is the only thing that'll really help you and I is the word. Look at verse 18. "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory, his, God's glory, that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Speaking of myself, I am seeking my glory. Speaking of God, I'm glorifying God. And it's pretty easy to know when, in my mind, when I'm conjuring up my own reasoning and my ideas and my excuses and my condemnation, that's not from God. Condemnation is not the will of the Lord. It may look holy. You may look like you're really trying to cover up your tracks and be a humble Christian, but it's a lie. And we're calling God liars when we're condemning ourselves. God says he sent his word to heal, and that's it. In 2 Timothy, please turn there, chapter 3, I don't know if we realize the power in this book that sits at your bedstand at night, maybe sits on your desk during the day or on a bookshelf, or you carry in your briefcase, and I'm certainly yours, maybe like mine, has a lot of finger smudges on the corner and a lot of pencil writings in it. It's very powerful. It's not just a book you're carrying around because somebody taught you how to open it up and read it. It is healing to us. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, wholeness, the truth shall make you free, through believing," that faith is pistis, "believing, which is in Christ Jesus." It'll always go back to Christ Jesus. The written word reveals Christ Jesus. He made known God. In John 1:18, "No man has seen God at any time, but Jesus, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath made him known," making him known. And there's no other way to get around it. There's no other way to get to know God than through the written word, revealing Jesus Christ to you and I, because who's in us? Christ is in us. We need to know our identity. Your identity is here. My identity is here. Vision is here. Answers are here. Yes, there is a word from the Lord for you and I. Become an expert at asking questions. Don't worry about being an expert at knowing everything or solving all the problems, but become an expert at going to God's word and saying, where, what, why, how long? Is there a word for me in this situation? Tremendous. And we see that it's the scriptures that are able to make us wise unto wholeness, through the believing which is in Christ Jesus. Take a look at Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah, we're going back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. And this is God's viewpoint. Well, all of God's word is inspired, but many times he's just telling us men's viewpoint. But this is God's. "Thus saith the Lord," verse 23, chapter 9. "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But, in contrast to that, let him that glorieth glory in this." Here it is. You've wanted to know what to sink your teeth into for all of your life? And why get up tomorrow morning? And why go to bed tonight? And why talk to that person on your right that you haven't really talked to yet because you came in, sat down, and wanted to get religious? Or when you go out, are you going to talk to anybody who I eat your hamburger? You know, all those things. If there's anything to glory in, look at verse 24. "We are to glory in this, that he," you and I, "understand and knoweth me," God, "that I am the Lord, which exerciseth exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And how do we get to know him? Who's the only individual that made him known? Jesus Christ. Where's the only place to see Jesus Christ? In the written word. And the thing that trips people up, that people glory in, me, I'm included, I will glory, boast, and put my trust, if I'm going to put it any place but God, in my wisdom, my riches, and my might. And what did God say tonight in the manifestations? That he was the supplier of our might. I wrote it down. He fills us with power and might. We've got to let him supply the answer. It's not, does Susan have a renewed mind word for this problem? No. I'm in a situation. What does the Lord say? What is the Lord's word? Let him be my might, my riches, and my wisdom. Now, if I do something nice that blesses people, wonderful. But really, it's not my renewed mind, fantastic ability to think that I'm thinking about God's word. It's having God's word, having his specific answer in my mind. And I think working here at the Way International and being here at the Way International, there's many times where situations come up where we've got to go to God's word. Maybe not a piece of paper, a three-part memo, or a purchase requisition, or a note or a memo to somebody, but simply say, hey, does the Lord have a word for me in this situation? Yes, he does. He certainly does. Look at Ephesians 1. It's God's will that we do understand and that we do know him. And in Ephesians chapter 1, we've got a promise directly from him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he's the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And in verse 20, which, that power, he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand, at his own right hand, in the heavenlies. God, in the manifestations tonight, a word from him, I will fill you with power and might. Did anybody come in here tonight needing to have some power and might? I did. God had a word for me, and he had a word for you, and he did not withhold it. And he's not a man that he should lie. It is absolutely true. Look at 1 John, please. Chapter 5. Many times we wonder Jesus Christ's relationship to us now, because we're not living in the Gospels. We're living in the grace administration. Well, he made known God. Now, that's for our learning. Christ is in us for our learning and to us. And where is the only place we can go to see Jesus Christ? Honestly, it's the only place to go. What you have to do tomorrow will not do it. What you did yesterday won't do it. It's in here. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, we read the proof of that statement that I said. I want to document myself. January and February is the month of documentation. Maybe those that have written WayCorp papers are aware of that. You document what you say. And that's right on. What's the word of the Lord for this situation? I'm not coming here presenting myself to you. What does God want you to hear? That's what constitutes what works in an individual's heart in the word, is you. If you weren't here, this wouldn't happen. Or if there was a whole different group of people on this side of the room, maybe the whole thing would be different. Because this is God's word for you, specifically, and myself. Look at verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him, God. That is true. And we are in him, God, that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. Jesus came so that we could have an understanding of God. The scriptures are the only place we can go to see Jesus Christ revealed to you and I. Look at Romans chapter 10, please. Do you want to build your believing? I think we all do from time to time. I do. I want to be a believer. That's what's on my goal sheet, is be a believer. What is it that builds believing? We talk about believing. We tell somebody, well, you weren't believing or you were believing or whatever. Well, rather than figuring that all out and judging all that, once you go to the Word to see what really builds believing, I think we'll see it here in Romans 10. Why did God give us a Word? Well, one thing is He sent it to heal us. Sent it to heal us. And we need to believe to be healed. We need to believe unto the hope, because it's beyond the five senses. We're asked to believe things that are beyond the five senses. God did not leave us alone. He gave us His Word. And in Romans 10, verse 8, we read, "But what saith it? The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the Word of faith, and that is the Word believing, which we preach. The Word is near you. It is near me. It's in our mouths. It was in Balaam's, even though he didn't meet one of the conditions, he still spoke what God told him to speak. Jesus Christ had the truth in His mouth. He always spoke the Word. And it's the Word of believing. And then look over here in verse 17. "So then, faith," which is pistis, believing, "believing cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." That's how believing is built, is hearing the Word. That's why it's so important to speak the Word. And if you want to tear somebody down, a good way to help them do that is speak anything other than the Word. Because that works both ways. If believing cometh by hearing, negative believing comes by hearing just as much as positive does. If we give anybody anything but God's Word, it'll still build believing in them. But I'd venture to say it'll be on the minus side. So God did give us His Word, and yes, there is a Word for us today. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, and thank You for the power of Your Word. And God, You just do so many special things for us that are above and beyond, but that's because You promised it in Your Word. And I thank You for people's hearts being just on fire tonight. And I certainly thank You for going farther beyond what I was ever able to speak and putting understanding together for people. In the wonderful and glorious name of Jesus Christ, amen.